This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Open-Handed. We're in a series entitled Open-Handed, and the whole principle is that we understand that our hands need to be open, so that way we are able to give, but we're also able to receive. Sometimes people like to walk around with closed fists, you know, and they don't really want to give, but not only when you walk around with closed fists are you not able to give, but you're not able to receive. And so this is all about living a life of generosity, living a life of generosity. What type of giver does the Lord love? He loves a cheerful giver, right? Like cheerful givers, they're happy people. And so today, I want to talk to you. It's been a really good series. I hope that you have really enjoyed this series up until this point. Today, I want to talk to you about the principles of multiplication. The principles of multiplication. You have heard me say throughout the series that we don't give just to get. Isn't that right? But we do understand the principle that when we do give, God does bless us in our giving, but not just in our giving. The Bible says in all that we do, all right? And so giving puts us in covenant with God. Giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game. You might have seen people play games, preachers play games, that kind of thing. You know, just ignore that. How many know that you don't judge Jesus based on something somebody did wrong? Isn't that right? And so giving is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper our lives. And so I am a numbers guy. If you hang around me long enough, you will know that Pastor is a numbers guy. I understand numbers very well. You got it? I've been very successful in life, in business. You got it? Part of it because I'm a go-getter. I'm not going to stop till it happens, but I also understand the business side of it and the numbers side of it. Numbers add up for me like that. You got it? And I just get it. I'm so much of a numbers guy. My wife, lady, she fully understands that I'm a numbers guy. Our team understands that I'm a numbers guy. Like, if you come to me and you present something that you want to do, you got it? And you're telling me all about it and how great it's going to be, you got it? Guess what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the number. I'm waiting for how much is this going to cost me? Because until I find out the number, you got it, everything you said sounds like Charlie Brown's parents. Wah, 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 $4,000. Okay, I heard that $4,000. Right? Well, I want you to know that God is also a numbers guy. We're going to see this all through Scripture. And God is a God of multiplication. And you've got to understand that multiplication is better than addition. You got it? He's the God of multiplication. Later when we get to the Scripture, he says that when we give and when we sow seed, that he multiplies the seed that is sown. And so you really, when it comes to God, you really would prefer him not to add, but to multiply in your life. So I've got a question for everybody before we get into our first Scripture. Would it be okay with you? You got it? Would it be okay with you if God multiplied your resources? You got, and that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. Luke, the 9th chapter and the 12th verse. Let's just have a little fun. I love this passage of Scripture. We're going to start at verse 12, and we're going to read through verses 17. It says, "When the day began to wear away," when the day began to do what, class? Wear away, "the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the multitude away,'" talking to Jesus, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, food and that kind of thing. And they said, "Because we are in a deserted place here." Verse 13, "But he," Jesus, "said to them," watch what he said. Have you ever read this? He says, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Now, people have to understand, when we talk about the story that Jesus fed the 5,000, you got it, he didn't just feed 5,000. You got it. Theologians say that he fed at least 20,000. He fed 5,000 families. But in that time, in that culture, they counted the crowds by the head of households, by the men. And per capita, they said that they had about 3 to 4 children in every family. But let's just say the husband and the wife just had 2 kids. You got it? So 5,000 times 4 is 20,000. So it's not just a miracle of him feeding 5,000. He fed 5,000 families, which was at least 20,000 people. Got it? Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. God's a numbers guy. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, watch this, he blessed it and broke it, and then he gave it to the disciples to set before the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and watch this, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. So we start with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and by the time he feeds 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, there were 12 baskets left over. It sounds like God multiplied some things. Got it? And that's what you have to understand. It is my job to teach you faith. It is my job to keep you in faith. It is my job to help you to remember to say what the word says only. You got it? And it is my job today to help you to get in faith that God wants to multiply your resources. God wants to multiply things in your life, but he can only do it to the degree that, watch this, that you receive it by faith and release your faith for God to multiply some things in your life. And so I'm going to take my time. We're going to have a little bit of fun, but you've got to understand that it's only going to happen by faith. It is by faith that we possess the promises of God. How many in the room know that what comes out of your mouth is vitally important? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, so if you didn't raise your hand, you don't know. Let's try it again. How many know in this room it is vitally important what comes out of your mouth? Raise your hand. Okay, it is vitally important. You cannot go around talking doubt and unbelief. You cannot go around saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Because guess what? You're not going to make it. Isn't that right? You got it? So you have to learn that faith cometh by hearing, but it is released by the words of our mouth. And so it is important that even if you're in tough times, that you don't allow your emotions, and we all do it. We've all, you know, been there, including your pastor, so I'm not trying to knock you. I'm just trying to teach you that we cannot allow our emotions to override what God wants to do in our lives. Because when we allow our emotion to override what God wants to do in our lives, we start thinking crazy, we start acting crazy, we start talking crazy. Am I right about it? Yeah. And so we've got to understand that it's so important that as best as we can, and I know that we have emotions, and some emotions are good. Not all emotions are bad. We are emotional people. I understand that. But when it comes to living by faith, we've got to do our best to keep our emotions in check and say what the word says so we can get God to do some amazing things in our lives. All right? So that was actually not part of the lesson. I'm going to get back into the lesson now, but it was real important that I said that, all right? And so we said that there was 5,000 and really about 20,000. As a matter of fact, Matthew, and some of these scriptures I'm going to throw out, I don't know if they'll have them in the back. I can't remember if I gave them all to them or not, because Pastor keeps going over his lesson, you know, even up until this morning, right? Matthew, the 14th chapter and 2nd verse, it says, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, watch this, besides women and children, all right? And so most theologians believe that this was the largest crowd that Jesus ever spoke to. So how many know that Pastor loves to be right in the story? Like, when it comes to the scripture, I like to be right in it. Like, I was there when blind Bartimaeus was reaching out to Jesus. Like, Jesus was coming down, blind Bartimaeus was there. I was the guy that was 4 over, and I was right there, and I had the best view. I saw blind Bartimaeus. I saw Jesus coming. You got, like, I saw him take off his beggar's clothes because he wasn't going to need them. No, like, when I read the Bible, I put myself right in the scripture. You've got to learn, like, I was on the boat when Jesus was walking on water. I wasn't going to get up out the boat. I left that up to Peter, but I was there. Like, I witnessed it for myself. With my, what I call my sanctified imagination. Everybody say sanctified imagination. And it's the will of God that you have a sanctified imagination, that you put yourself in, you got it, in the scripture, in the story, God, watch this, and see how God wants to bless you and help you and strengthen you and comfort you and keep you, but you can only do that to the degree that you put yourself in the scripture. So let's all today put ourselves in this scripture, all right? I want you to imagine today, all right, that you are there, all right? You are there. Now, that you are on, let's call it the Messiah Search Committee, all right? You are, and today you have found a great candidate. I mean, this guy is healing the sick. You got it. He is raising the dead, right? And we get a bonus with this guy because he's walking on water, and they didn't prophesy that in the Old Testament. So this guy is going to be good. Like, he's got to be good. You have tweeted. You have sent the Instagram, the Facebook post. You've emailed. You talked to all your friends. You've got to come and check this guy. Like, he's going to be a good one. And then you get to church. It is the highest attendance that you've ever had in the history of your church. All right. So like this is going good. He might be the one. Right? Are y'all following me? I hope you're following me through scripture. Okay. All right. And so he gets up to speak. He gets up to speak and he's speaking and noontime comes. And we normally get out at noon, but he's still speaking. 1 o'clock comes and he's still speaking. 2 o'clock comes and he's still speaking. I mean, if this is football season, the first game is already over. You understand what I'm saying? 3 o'clock comes and he's still speaking. 4 o'clock comes and he's still speaking. They said, Pastor, that is not in the Bible. Yes, it is. You got to read the scripture. Luke 9 and 12 says, when the day began to wear away. Do you know what that means in the Greek? When the day began to wear away. All right. So I think that the disciples, like, they formed their own committee, right? Like they were like, man, what are we going to do? You got it? And you know, one guy's like, man, I don't know about you, but I need something to eat. You got it? Like, if I don't get something to eat right now, you know, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to heaven, right? And so they were talking about it. They said, that's it. He seems to care about the people. You got it. Not so much us right now, but he seemed to care about these people. You got it. And so let's go and tell him that the people are hungry. You think we should do that? Yeah, I think we should do that. Yeah. Okay. All right. And so watch it. And imagine they designate you to go and talk to Jesus. All right. And so now you have to, and when you look at the scripture and the inference of scripture, the way the theologians say it, that the disciple came and interrupted Jesus. So imagine, come on now, let's walk through the scripture. Jesus is teaching, right, to the highest attendance, right? There's thousands of people. It's like, Jesus, excuse me, you know. Right? And you're looking at you, Lord, this has been great. This has been really good. This series of lessons that you have taught in one day, this has been great. John and I've been talking, we could do this like all night, Lord. You know, but Lord, we were talking and we were thinking, you know, that the people are hungry. The people are hungry. Jesus says, the people are hungry. Yes, Lord, the people are, we're okay, we could do this all night, but the people are hungry, they're tired, it's in a deserted place. And so we think that you probably need to wrap it up. You gotta wrap it up and send them home because, Lord, the restaurants are about to close. And so just imagine Jesus saying, so you're concerned about the people. Oh, yes, Lord, it's all about the people. It's all about the people. Huh? And then watch what Jesus says in Luke 9:13. He says, okay, you give them something to eat. And you're like, what? And imagine you having to go back to the disciples to tell them what happened. And so now all of a sudden you go back to the disciples, right? Are y'all with me? You go back to the disciples and you're just like, and they're like, well, what did he say? You don't want to tell them. What did he say? You know, he said, we should give them something to eat. You know, what did he say? We should give them something to eat. What? All these people? You got it? Oh, man, just wait till the first church of the Pharisees finds out about this. This is just a disaster, right? So that's what they're thinking, okay? And so what happens is, can we just keep going with my sanctified imagination? All of a sudden, this little kid comes by with 2 fishes, which is what the KJV says, and 5 loaves, right? And Peter being Peter just grabs it from him. You got it. And Peter's Peter. He probably even, you know, ate a little piece of the bread. And they're like, Peter, stop it. Put that away. That's all we have. And they said, that's it. That's it. We'll go back to Jesus, follow the story, and tell him this is all we have. You got it. So we got to go back and we've got to tell Jesus all we have. So now you have to go back and tell Jesus. Because Jesus went back to teaching. So now, Jesus, excuse me. See, Lord, what happened was Peter found this kid with a long John Silver pack. He had 2-piece and he ordered extra rolls. And Lord, this is all we have. You got, 2 fish and almost 5 loaves. Peter, he ate a little bit of it. But, you know, this is what we have, what we got. And Jesus said, so you got 2 fish and, okay, well, almost 5 loaves because I understand Peter. Yes, Lord, that's what we have, all right? And watch this. And they are thinking, surely, watch this now. Surely Jesus is going to say, okay, it's time for the benediction. Right? Like, it's time for everything. And so Jesus says, okay, and here's the instructions. Jesus says, sit them down and count them all by 50. How many know at that moment to the disciples that didn't make sense? How many know if we were standing there, that would not make sense? How many know sometimes God's way doesn't make sense, but it makes faith? Sometimes tithing doesn't make sense that I am going to give the 10% when I really need all this 100 and then some to do what I'm going to do. But it doesn't make sense that I'm going to give the 10, watch this, and he's going to bless the 90 and empower it to prosper in my life. Some things don't make sense. They make faith. And if you learn to do it God's way, you will get God results in your life. Amen. That's a good place to clap. And so they told him, you know, to just sit down and those kind of things. And he's like, Lord, sit him down in 50. He's like, yes, sit him down in 50. He's like, Lord, we don't have a lot of these snack packs. Like, we just have this one snack pack. And Jesus says, sit him down 50. Imagine the disciples trying to get 50 people. You got it. I mean, 20,000 people to sit in numbers of 50. Have you ever worked with people before? You got it. And so just imagine that. And so my sanctified imagination is they finally get it done. And so now they have the 2 fish, they have the 5 loaves, and now, you know, they're like, okay, well, you know, we're going to take it to Jesus so he can bless it. And they, like most people, think that that is when the multiplication took place in the scripture, but it's not. You got it. I'm going to show it to you in the scripture, all right? But most people think that Jesus prayed over it, and then all of a sudden it just multiplied where they had, you know, thousands of pieces of bread, and they just picked up and passed it. But that's not exactly how it went, you know? And so can we keep going through the story? And so imagine now Peter being the one, you got it, that says, he's about to pray and multiply. I'm going first. So he grabs a loaf and takes it, and he says, here, pray over it. So Jesus takes the loaf and he breaks the loaf. And he says, Father, bless it. You got it? Because that's what Jesus does when he receives our tithe. We said that last week in Hebrews 7, right? And watch this. And he gives back, watch this, not the whole thing, but just half back to Peter and says, go feed the people. Peter is thinking that when Jesus prayed and blessed it, that it was going to multiply. So imagine Peter just looking at it and like, are you done praying, Lord? He's like, yeah, Peter, I'm done. It's blessed. The Father's blessed it. Peter's looking. You want to pray some more? No, Peter. You got it. It's blessed. You got it. Now go give it away, and the Father will multiply it. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Are y'all following where I am? See, the miracle didn't happen in the master's hand. It happened in the disciples' hands after they gave it away. And a lot of times in our lives, we hold on and don't want to give, not understanding that multiplication can only take place after we've given. Does that make sense? Yeah, amen. That's a good place to clap. So there are 2 principles of multiplication from this story that I want to show you. Then I'm going to give you a couple quick things. And, oh, man, we're doing good on time. There are 2 things I want to show you. Number one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. It was the blessing of Jesus that caused it to multiply. It doesn't have the potential to multiply if it's not blessed. So this is why we give, watch this, the first 10% to the house of God, to the church, right? Because then after that, then God blesses the 90%. All right? We talked last week how even though mere men receive, you know, our tithes, Jesus himself actually received our tithe. So we went over that. We taught an amazing lesson on tithing last week. So if you weren't here, go back and listen to that. I don't need to reteach it. All right? Number two, everybody say number two. Number two, it has to be given away before it can multiply. It has to be given away before it can multiply. A little bit later, I'm going to show you how I got this revelation. But when I looked at this revelation, Malachi says, "You robbed me in tithes and in offerings." And this point really pushes toward the offering because a lot of times we teach the tithe and we should teach the tithe, but really we are to give tithe and offerings. You got it? What if the disciples had eaten it after it was blessed? It never would have multiplied. Am I right about it? And so we have to learn that this principle of offering, of giving over and above, that you can't eat all your seed, that he gives seed to the sower. Does that make sense? So the bread was blessed and had potential to multiply, but watch this, but it, had they eaten it themselves and never given it away, it never would have multiplied. The number one reason I believe in my heart, because I'm not like most people, I believe most people want to do the right thing. I do. Y'all know me. I'm not a fussing preacher. I don't know why any preacher would fuss. The gospel is good news. You understand? And so, but I believe when people don't do what they should do, it's not always because they don't want to. I believe most people have good intentions, whether it's giving, you got it, whether it's, you know, living right, whether it's just whatever. I personally, in my heart, you got, like you don't come to church every Sunday, you got it, and do everything we do and not have the heart to really want to do right. Does that make sense? Yeah, I lost some of y'all holiness people, but that's okay. Y'all come back in a minute, all right? I believe personally the number one reason why people don't give over and above really the way they want to, and some even struggle to give tithes, is because they're maxed out. I really believe that. Most people are maxed out. What did Pastor say? Most people are maxed out. Yeah. And so God wants us to get our finances in order so he can bless them. And God can only bless things that are in order. If they're not in order, God cannot bless them. You got it. Like, I'm real big stickler for everything being in order. You got it? Like, I'm like that. I want our finances in order. You know, I want my marriage in order. I want my children in order. I'm going to do my part. You got it. And then God does his part. Does that make sense? And so it's real important. So I want to give you, before I close, I'm almost done, three keys to getting your finances in order. Three keys to getting your finances in order. Have y'all been blessed by this lesson? Has it helped you at all? Okay. All right. So point number one, they'll put it up on the screen. On three, I want you to say it real loud. One, two, three. Okay, let's try it again. There's more than four of y'all here. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's try it again. One, two, three. That's good. Get out of debt. Now, there is good debt versus bad debt. How many know that? You got, like you know, if you have a mortgage, that's not bad debt. That's a good debt. You got it. Things that appreciate, you know, or you can get a tax credit on it, something like that. That's an okay debt. All right. That's you know, I think that we should all work and believe to be totally debt free. You got it. That's just me. You got it. But at the same time, there is good debt and there is bad debt. But no matter whether it be good or bad, Proverbs 22:7, the latter part of that, it says that the borrower is servant to the lender. If I was to read the whole thing, it says the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. And so do your best to get out of debt. Come up with a plan to get your finances in order. Come up with a plan that if you have credit card debt, that you get out of it. And if you got to cut the cards up, cut the cards up. Yes. If you have a furniture debt, get out of the furniture debt and don't keep the line of credit with them no more. Just get rid of it. Like I'm telling you, it's a faith thing. You just got to make it up in your mind, especially if you've dependent on the credit cards or you've dependent on this or if you're going to have to make it up in your mind, I'm not living like that anymore. You got it? That I'm moving toward debt freedom in my life. And watch this. God gives you more on your way than he does when you start. So if you will learn, watch this now, to start stepping out on faith in these areas, God will bless you. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think that you all by now know that I love a word called margin. Margin is a word that I want you to love, and margin is a word that I want you to have, all right? Margin is the difference between your load and your limit. Margin is what you have after you have paid all your bills, and it is the will of God for you to have more money in your, I say pockets, we don't even carry cash nowadays, most of us, but you know what I'm saying, in your bank accounts, you got it, than you do, you know, going out. You have more staying in than you have going out, and watch this, so you can, watch this, so you can provide for your family, so you can save for your future, and so you can be a blessing to others. Does that make sense? Well, Pastor, you didn't say so you could tithe. No, you do that before any of that, because that always happens at the beginning. If I give you 10 $100 bills, which one goes to God? The first one, right? So like the first one goes to God. It's set aside. Now I deal with the other nine. You got the first one I submit to you, and then even after the first one, you should pray about what your offering is going to be. Does that make sense? Yeah, because you do want God to multiply your seed sown, but if I don't sow seed, he can't multiply it, right? And so I want you to have something called margin. I want you to do something else, all right? I want you to do something else. I'm going to look right at my screen because I'm not picking on anybody because I think we've all done this, but I want you to stop being emotional in your spending. 1, 2, 3. Okay, all right? And how many of us have been emotional in their spending? Pastor, put up both hands. Because at some point in your life, even if you're doing good now, at some point in your life, you've been an emotional spender. Have you ever bought something and said, man, I shouldn't have bought that? You got it? Yeah, yeah. I don't really think that way. Can I tell a story about you? I didn't ask you. It was when we were first married. So everybody say years ago. Years ago, lady would go shopping, right? And she would buy this stuff that I was fine with. But after she bought it, over half of it, she's like, I'm going to take it back. I'm like, why are you going to take it back? She's like, well, I really didn't like this, and I wasn't sure. And so, like, I had to get used. She doesn't do that anymore. But she would, I don't need to try it on. I know that's my size. Then we get home. She's like, yeah, I should have tried it on. I need to take it back, right? Like that messed with my head. You got like I got my own issues. I already told y'all that I got issues. You got issues. All got. But that was my one issue. I was like, I don't get it because now it left the checkbook. You got it. You got to go take it back for them to credit it, and then I'm checking my account. It's been 2 days. They ain't put that money back in my account. You got it? He's stingy. No, that's a lie. I'm a giver. I'm just a good steward, and I want to make sure that you put that money back in my account. I sure do. Yes, sir. But I'm like that in every facet. You got it? You know, we like to cash app our nieces and our nephews and those kind of things. And one thing I know, anytime I cash app Jordan, lady's going to have to text her because it always goes pending. And it doesn't go pending until she actually receives it. You got it? And I'm like, tell her to make it automatic. So when we send her money, she just automatically receives it. So it's not just in my account I'm like that. I'm just like that across the board. You got it. Like if it's supposed to be a certain way, let it be a certain way. Praise the Lord. I got issues. All right. But watch this. But me being like that was not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's helped us steward our money so we could have plenty of margin so we can give. We give 15%. We give tithe. We give 5% offering. And then we are always a blessing to so many. We give over and above. And because of that, we live a supernatural life. I have always, people don't like to use the word rich. That's on you. You got it? The word rich just means abundantly supplied. You got it? I was abundantly supplied long before I came and started pastoring at this church. You got it? But years ago when I first learned the principles of giving and prospering and doing it God's way, I always wanted to have a lot so I could be a blessing. I always wanted to have a lot so I can be a blessing. Like that's my main thing. You got it? There's not a day that goes by where I don't want to give something to somebody. You got it? And I'm telling you, when you have the heart to be a giver, you watch this. No matter how much you give, you never beat God at it. Like you can never beat God giving no matter how hard you try. Was it last week? We said the testimony of a tither is, man, God is good to me. Every person who consistently tithes, you got it, will tell you God is good to me. All right, so number one, work on getting out of debt. Work on a plan. Talk to your spouse. Is there anything right now that you have that you're paying on that you don't need? Ooh, praise the Lord. All right. So you just you got to work on that. All right. No, I'm serious. You know, like, you know, well, let's say you have three cars, and I'm not knocking that. It's okay, you got three cars, but let's say you have debt on all three. What if the Lord told you, well, you know, you only really need two for you and your spouse, so just go ahead and send that other one back so you could have margin so you can be a blessing? Would you do what God told you to do? Anytime God's trying to tell you to do something, he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. You got it? And some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm your pastor. I'm your friend. I'm just trying to help you. Does that make sense? All right? So number one is get out of debt. Number two, here's a big one. Don't manipulate. Have financial integrity. What did I say?
Have financial integrity.
Don't play games with people. Don't play games with systems. You got it. Don't play games with money. You got all kind of folk up in jail because of that PPP money. Are you crazy? You got it. Oh, they giving away. They are not giving it away. You got it. Praise the Lord. Let me just keep right on moving. Don't play games with people. Don't play games with systems. You got it. Or money. Or your taxes. It's tax season. You got it? And now they got this little thing now, I guess, where you can do your taxes on your own, and it's got the little number up there to let you know if you're going up or if you're going down. And if you don't have integrity, you'll put some numbers in to make that thing go up. But if you ever get a little slip in the mail from a company with three letters called the IRS, you will wish that you had never done that. Does that make sense? You got it? Yeah. I would rather have less and be free than to take more. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right. So just never play games. As your pastor, I have never played money games with you ever, and you know that. I have never done that. The way we steward here is amazing, and I'm just going to be honest with you. God breathes on the money that comes into this ministry. He really does. Like, he breathes. Like, literally, everything we're able to do and how we do it, you got it? And I had to move away and let God do it because I'm a numbers guy. Do this. Nope, don't do this. We don't have enough for that. And God was like, no, do it anyways. Give to missions anyways. That church is hurting. Send them $3,000 anyways. And then it would always come back around. When they send me the numbers by the end of the week, we had more than what we had at the beginning of the week. I'm not lying to you. Giving is not a game. It's God's plan to prosper your life. If you do it God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. I mean, so it works, but you got to learn how to work it. Does that make sense? All right. And so get out of debt. Don't manipulate. And the last one, let's go home court. I think this is good. This is the last one. Put it up on the screen. There it is. 1, 2, 3. What is it?
Give.
Do what? Give. All right. And I believe that we say, well, I do give. I tithe. And kinda. This is. You got to get this because you have to understand what the scripture says. He says, return to me. So the tithe belongs to God. It's not mine. So really, you could say that you're giving it, but you are really returning to God what belongs to him. Because if you don't return it, you're really stealing it. Does that make sense? The tithe is the accursed thing. It's the holy thing. It's set apart. It doesn't even belong to us. And that is why you have to understand the importance of giving tithe. Watch this. And giving offerings. Because I believe that when you really start giving over and above, I believe God blesses us when we tithe. Absolutely. Hands down. He rebukes the devourer. Yes, he does. I believe when we give over and above and are generous, that is when we see supernatural multiplication take place in our lives. I really do that. Lady and I were talking, and I was telling her, I can go back to the times, and we know how to sacrifice. I say, I can look at this time when we did this, and not overnight, but over time, that happened. Then we did this, and not overnight, but over time, that happened. Anytime, you got it, we're blessed. We're super blessed because we tithe. But I believe because we give over and above and are generous that we see the supernatural multiplication in our lives. And you have to believe that that's real. Like, it's not a game. God owns everything. And if you'll just work his principles, you'll see amazing things happen in your life. Does that make sense? All right. So 2 Corinthians 9:6, we're going to read this and then we're going to go home. He says, remember this. Do what, class? He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. He says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without what? A cheerful, joyous, prompted to a giver whose heart is in his giving. Watch what verse 8 says. If you do that, that God will make all grace abound toward you. That's every favor and earthly blessing coming to you in abundance, so that you may always, under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. It is the will of God that you always, under all circumstances and whatever the need be, that you be self-sufficient. That is always God's plan for your life. It is never God's plan for your life to be between blessings. It is never God's plan for you to be a little bit short this paycheck. That is never God's plan. What is self-sufficient? Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. And I read that years ago, and I said, God, make me that man. You got it. That when something comes up and the church needed something, this, you know, and this is years ago when I was just a member of Pastor Taylor's church, and you know, when they say, hey, we need something for $10,000, that I don't have to wait. You're going to say, well, how is everybody? I can just say, hey, Pastor, I'll meet it. Because I want to be, watch this, I want to be someone that God blesses in abundance, that if the kingdom ever needs anything, I can raise my hand and say, hey, I got it. I'm telling you, that is the heart of God. The reason why we are so blessed is because we wanted to be blessed just so we could be givers. We didn't want to be blessed so we could be getters. You got it? We wanted to be blessed so we could be givers. And that is the difference. And let me just tell you, when you live that life, God's going to make sure you get some stuff. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. Give the Lord a hand, praise. I'm out of time. Hope you got blessed by that. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers praying all over the building. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me concerning this lesson? And I believe that God will speak to you. I believe God will speak to you. What are you saying to me concerning this lesson? And whatever God is speaking to you, I believe that I believe that you need to listen to him. You need to adhere to his instructions. What are you saying? Just do what God tells you to do. And if you do it God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and believers are praying all over the building. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. I need Christians praying all over the building. If you know how to pray in the Spirit, I'm asking you right now to pray in the Spirit. There's somebody in this room that needs to give their life to Jesus. There's somebody that's watching online that needs to give their life to Jesus, or rededicate their life to Jesus, or make a decision today. Maybe you're in the room and you need to be saved. Romans 10 and 9 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins, confess him as the Lord of your life, and start doing it his way. And I promise you, if you start doing it his way, you're going to get his results in your life. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. I want you to know that God is not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He's not angry with you, but he loves you so very much. And he right now is knocking on the door of your heart, and he wants to help you. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online, and you just need to repent about something. You're saved. If you died right now, you go to heaven. But truth be told, maybe you just need to ask God to forgive you for something you said or something you did or an attitude you had. Maybe you're in this room or you're online and you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church you go to. The Bible is clear. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. It's the will of God for every person to come to the knowledge of Jesus and accept Jesus as their Savior. And after that, become a part of a good church. I believe that that's God's will for your life. So we're going to pray this prayer in a minute. But before we pray this prayer, if you're online, we have those connection cards we talked about. If you're in this room, the connection cards are located in the seat pocket in front of you. And I want you to grab one if you are going to give your life to Jesus today, if you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus, or if you're going to join this church. You can go ahead and open your eyes and go ahead and grab it now. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, if you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus, or if you're going to join this church, go ahead and grab it right now. If you need a pen and do not have a pen, ushers are standing in the aisles and they have pens. If you will just hold up your hand high, they will come over and they will give you a pen. And so I want everyone to pray this prayer. You say, well, Pastor, I don't need to pray this prayer, you know, because I've already made the decision, you know, that kind of thing. Well, it's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. And truth be told, we can all pray this prayer. And so I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I will always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?